So I would be less than honest if I did not admit how much struggle we Unitarian Universalists have with the idea of Easter. In part, it's the story itself. There were many, right from the start of the question, who believed, as we do, that Jesus was human, that the Spirit called God is one Spirit, not three in one, as our Trinitarian siblings have come to believe. And we know that while life includes suffering, we struggle with the element of sacrifice sometimes, that one death could atone for all sins that are somehow born in us at birth. And in part, I think we also struggle with the legacy of Christianity, its colonialism, its sometimes bad behavior on the world stage. But I suspect even those who are inclined to roll it all up in a ball and toss it away are still challenged by the story of Easter, if only because it is such a prevalent influence in our culture and nearly impossible to ignore. Passover, of course, has its own challenges. It is not comfortable to imagine a God who sent plagues on one people in order to free another, much less one who takes the lives of the firstborn in order to free his own. Not to mention the many who drowned in the Red Sea as it closed its waves over them, the Israelites freed on the far side. It is also not an easy story, though in some ways, because it seems so fantastical, it allows a kind of setting aside of the discomforts, perhaps allowing us to move more quickly into understanding the celebration of release from bondage, a symbol of how we are all oppressed in some way, even those of us privileged, and that freedom is available when we seek it. The Easter story was framed, as I mentioned earlier, by those who lived many years after the event of Jesus' death itself, and no doubt colored by interpretations over the last 2,000 years. And yet we ask the same questions every year and often find ourselves stuck in patterns of interpretation. Many among us hold fast that the risen body is not possible, that the most we can understand is the mystery of the empty tomb. My colleague, the Reverend Victoria Weinstein, offers a poem that I want to share with you this morning that I think might help us consider the idea of how this prophet, Jesus, might be among us still. The stone has got to be rolled back from the tomb again and again every year, she says. Roll up your sleeves. He's not coming back, you know. He's not coming back unless it is we who rise for him, we who lay healing hands on the reviled and rejected, like he did on his behalf. We who rage for righteousness in his insistent voice. We who love the sinner, even knowing that the sinner is no farther off than our own heartbeat. He will not be back to join us at the table to share God's extravagant banquet, God's love feast. All are invited, come as you are. And so it is you and I who must feast for him, must say the grace and break the bread and pass it to the left and dish up the broiled fish or pour the wine and pass it to the right and treat each one so tenderly as though just this morning she or he made the personal effort to make it back from heaven or from hell, but certainly from death to be by our side. Because if by some miracle, and why not a miracle, he did come back, wouldn't he want to see us like this? Wouldn't it be a miracle to live for just one day so that if he did, by some amazing feat, come riding into town, he could take a look around and say, "This is what I meant." And we could say, "It took us a long time, but we finally figured it out." Oh, let us live to make it so, she writes. You are the resurrection and the life. Perhaps there is a kind of freedom from the struggle to have it all make perfect sense, while not having to dismiss the message entirely. And remember that Easter doesn't need to be the story for us. It can be simply a story for us of freedom from patterns or disappointments or struggles, like the lobster that molts, a creature of this magical and mysterious earth, like the release from bondage that offers yet more challenge. No growth, no starting over is easy or simple, but it is available to us. We tell stories about it and see evidence of it all around us. Sometimes even we ourselves are capable of the forgiveness and renewal that is at the heart of the Jesus message. I saw my colleague John Gibbons last Monday at the climate change rally at the State House. "What will you be preaching on Sunday?" I asked him. And while he was not entirely sure, he mentioned a panel he had recently been part of addressing the idea of the afterlife. It was a rabbi, a priest, a Unitarian Universalist, and an imam. Good for April Fools, I know, but we're not going there. He told me he could have exchanged scripts with the rabbi, their perspectives of our unknown futures beyond this world, so similar. The priest had clear ideas, he mentioned, but the one who was most impressive, he said, was the imam. He said he knew the taste of the persimmon in heaven. Isn't that great? The taste of the persimmon in heaven, not just that they were there, but the taste of it. Most of us do not share that certainty, of course. And like the podcast I listened to recently, that was a conversation between a different rabbi and an imam, talking about what they envied in each other's traditions, we might envy a bit the certainty. They called it a holy envy. The certainty of the persimmon is definitely one we might find ourselves wondering about. Or even the certainty that in some sense Jesus rose as a promise of our own eventual victory over our fear of nothingness. Ours is a path of both celebration and search, constant and ongoing. In the long run, I think there are worse things to fear than questions or death. And at the top of the list is indifference to living, to that which is new among and between us that says, take this life on. Love it fiercely, boldly, and intentionally. The stories we share encourage our search for all that makes this life, in its sorrows, in its joys, in its confusion, in its celebrations, makes it so very amazing. Be not bound today. Be not tied to worn patterns or old habits. Try on something new this Easter morning, a day of light and gladness. Let your souls drink in the freedom of this season and imagine that freedom in your heart, untested, unknown, and sitting at the edge of possibility. May it be so.